Der Surf Europa Podcast.
May also contain some very explicit language, which will frequently mean sexual swear words.
BBC World Service presents.
This is London.
Welcome to the Surf Your Podcast. I'm Paul Evans.
And I'm Ben Mundy.
Wow, brilliant show today, Ben. Lots of content in there.
Yes, some controversial, I might add, Paul. But yeah, it's content fest. Yeah. Pure content from start to finish.
Have you calmed down now? You got a bit upset, didn't you, when I had a bit of a go at Oki. You got a bit upset.
Yeah, well, it was a bit of a sideswipe me, to be honest, that you'd want to take that on. But yeah, I know I got a bit upset trying to protect the honour of Oki, and I've settled down and I stand by it, Paul. We'll see what the listeners think. They'll be as shocked as I am, I'd expect.
Well, that was a brand new feature called Sacred Cow. We also had the second thrilling instalment of Podcaster Mastermind. All that to look forward to. Enjoy the show.
And get a dog right up here.
What have you got that's good?
I'll tell you what was good, I thought, and got a fair bit of press, but still worth going over. Jamie Mitchell, his efforts at Porto Escondido, in the Porto Escondido Challenge. 6 weeks previously, he'd got wiped out, crushed his sternum, almost drowned. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Hey, mate.
Got taken to hospital, you know, went back to rehab. 6 weeks later, he came back and surfed. It was, you know, 15-foot, whatever you want to call it. It was massive. He was in a lot of pain. For some reason, he still paddled out, ended up getting to the final, caught some bombs, was in extreme pain. I just think that's a pretty heroic effort, just to surf it under that much pain, under that much duress. He's obviously gone through the pain barrier before as an elite athlete, as a paddleboarder, blah, blah, blah. But I still thought, I don't know, in terms of just sheer ball, sheer bravery, I thought that was right up there this year across all sports.
Yeah, when I think of Jamie Mitchell, I mean, obviously I'm impressed with him. It's like unbelievable big wave excellence. But the main thing that comes to mind when I think of him is I'm a bit worried about what sort of moisturiser he's using, his grid. I mean, he's quite weathered. He's had a bit of weather on that face, hasn't he?
He's had a lot of
I'd just be interested to know what he's using as like an after shower sort of skincare routine. Yeah. But whatever it is, I'm just suggest that maybe it's not quite enough.
I think they've done recent studies and he's actually now, his body is 72% zinc. Yeah, which is good. So that's probably why it helped with his sternum.
How old is he? He's like mid-30s?
I think he's 22.
Yeah, he's like one of those classic Aussies that you go, so mate, how was he 50th? And they go, it's me 21st.
Like, wow. He grew up in Coffs Harbour, like the
sunniest place in the world.
Yeah. Also the least amount of big waves on the Australian East Coast. But yeah, anyway, brave bugger. Okay, Paul, you got anything that's good?
Yeah, I'm going to keep on the theme of sort of older dudes. There was a really good edit recently on Adam Replogle, the Santa Cruz guy from sort of the 90s. I don't know if you saw it. It's called Brain Work. And I just thought it was a really sort of, apart from the fact it's sort of slightly original, the take on, you know, him, like a day in the life type thing. But he's just a really interesting dude. And I like, if you'd seen it, you know what I mean. But he basically goes in his garage and pulls out a board off from his roof, gets on this knackered old bike, rides down, and surfs at a little right point there in Santa Cruz. It's basically, he's on like a sort of 7'3" shortboard. And I just thought, how cool is it to see a guy like massively overgunned? I mean, it's like a point break, you kind of get away with it, but he's like ripping. And I just thought, it's great. You never see people overgunned. Every time you watch an edit, everyone's on a fucking 5'1". You see all these old dudes with like pot bellies on like fucking tiny surfboards. See back to, let's say like Pagey at sort of 6 foot Mundaka on a 9'6" sort of Willis Brothers phaser bottom while I'm here gun.
Or even like, even you look back at the old footage of like Luke Egan and Oki riding 7'2"s and like, really left-handers.
I just think
ripping.
There isn't enough overgunned anymore in surfing. Mm. It's either like longboard kind of hipster shit or basically everyone's like tiny little thing. I'm just like, what's wrong with just shortboarding on a board that's way too long? That's what
I spent my entire 1990s doing exactly that. My shortboard was a 6.6 and I travel with a 7.2 just always as backup.
It's also quite a good way to sort of cut someone down when they come in. They go, yeah, I had a couple. And they're like, how big's that board? 6.8 And they're like, no, it's 5.11 and a half or whatever. And you go, oh. Yeah, the classic backhanded compliment. Yeah, so brilliant edit from him, and he's quite quirky. He's got this sort of slight OCD thing with his change, and he collects change before he goes surfing to stop getting sharks. Oh, sorry, oh, forgot the best part of all. So that bit's really good. But then there's one bit, and he pulls up to the window at Burger King, and he's like, can I get 40? Are you guys doing burgers yet? And then she's like, we have 12 Whoppers. And he's like, can I have 40 Whoppers? And he's like, oh, twat, man. Burgers, whatever, you know, like you're thinking, what idiot, you shouldn't be eating that. Do you know how bad his beef is for the environment? He's, mate, he buys 40 burgers and he fucking goes out, there's loads of bums around Santa Cruz, and basically gives them out to people and chats with dudes and just fucking hands out food to dudes basically and has a little chat. And it's actually like, you see loads of stuff these days, everyone's teaching handicapped people how to surf, which is awesome. No, don't get, I'm not, but do you know what I mean? There's quite a lot of that. It's almost competitive sort of benevolence.
Yes, yes.
But I just thought it's fucking rad. You can just picture him doing that, not for his Instagram. Ben, what else have you got that's...
Well, it's a bit of a, you know, it's fairly well-worn sort of trail this, but...
that's not like you.
After the Billabong Pro in Tahiti, as you're probably well aware, surf fans out there, there's now been seven winners on the championship tour. Paul, it's wide open. So with Julian Wilson winning the final and Gabe Medina, which we'll come to maybe my bad. There's now seven guys that can win the world title effectively, and they're all pretty good.
What do you think the chance would be of having someone winning the world title without winning an event?
Nil.
Like CJ did that.
Gabriel Medina is the only of that top seven that hasn't won an event.
Come on, Gabriel. I would like to see a world champion without winning an event.
Interesting, though. How many event winners were there last year out of the 11 winners, do you think, Paul?
Five.
There was nine. Right. Which is the most ever. But there was still no world title race because John had just sort of wrapped it all up.
When you say interesting...
it's quite a good start.
I don't want to take that much credit. I don't think the Surf Europe podcast should take all the credit for this, but maybe just most of it. Have you noticed that the sort of death of cold water surf trips in terms of films?
Yeah, I started this.
Yeah, we've been on record quite a bit about fucking Iceland, fucking Norway... Cunting Alaska. Just weird.
A 3-foot right in front of a snow-capped mountain. Whatevs.
If you're ever stupid enough to attend a surf film festival, if you really had nothing on and you just sit there and film after film as a bunch of dickheads have taken their parents' money and gone somewhere cold and spent $20,000 making a documentary about surfing in a hood.
And then spent $15,000 on getting some almost famous narrator to overlay it with a poem by someone that you never...
The wankiest shit ever. But it just seems that's sort of on the way.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of had enough of it.
I'm just going to Bali now.
Or people are still doing it, but no one cares. You don't really hear about it. But I think that's great that surfing seems to finally moved on. I would quite like to see the new sort of genre... the kind of medium that becomes really popular is getting really into surfing that's really crap waves.
Yeah.
Just like really crowded, sort of a bit onshore, but not that onshore, but just like a bit shit.
You just know like when average, like, just that, like those kind of French rip bowls where you get them on the wrong tide?
Yeah.
You know, just on they're too low or too high? Mm-hmm. Just have like a movie's about that.
Perfect.
2 hours past the tide, I'd call it.
People travelling all around the world just missing it by a couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah. Or turning up on the day and it's too crowded, you don't really get a wave.
Again,
there's so much out there.
There's a lot of material.
For filmmakers out there, I mean, just call us. We're happy to give away our ideas.
Ben, on a slightly different note, what have you got that's...
sort of been a bit tired of that. You know, there's that Maldives surfing event. 4 boards, 4 different surfers. There's Taj Burrows.
It's Machado, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is.
Don't make me angry.
Ross Williams. Taj Burrow, Rob Machado, and someone else. It's just a fucking couples retreat. Like, these guys travel the world for all their life. They just get paid billions of dollars to go to the most exotic locations, and then we're forced to see them with their partners getting an all expenses paid trip to some fancy resort and then surf a twin fin and a single fin in Sultans, a right hander that's kind of fun, but so kind of what I'm not sure. I know this is just a mass advertorial for that resort, and I kind of get the guys having fun, which is cool, but I'm like, unless I get invited, which I'm open to.
Well, on that note, Ben, I've actually got a confession to make. I emailed the Four Seasons. I emailed the Four Seasons to see if I could
of course you did.
Get on. Didn't get a reply. I just thought it's about time Rob and I like really just sat down in a room and just say, guys, like, can we have the room, please?
I can just see you, Machado, a big pineapple cocktail, and just sit down and just have it out.
No one leaves this room until we're sweet. We need to get this sorted out because it's gone on too long, and I think a lot of people are getting pretty upset, and it's like a damaging rift in surfing.
Yeah.
The Evans-Machado beef. So basically, me and Rob need to sit down and kind of work through it.
Well, the Four Seasons comp is where it should be done, and let's hope for next year. Well, I'm clearly off the list now, but
I emailed them and they didn't reply.
Oh, well, there's one on next year. Paul, have you got anything
bad? I'll tell you what's bad. It's probably more a reflection on me, but I watched a bit of the US Open webcast lately, and it kind of dawned on me, I don't know why, but I always seem to miss the webcast from sort of good Fiji, J-Bay. I'm pretty sure I didn't watch a single heat. I always find myself watching the fucking US Open or just somewhere really shit. It's like, what... Why is that? I tuned in, and I mean, it really is like an awful surfing competition, right? It's just like...
Yeah, it's just guys bouncing.
It's horrible. Yeah, that weird fast close out into the pier. But I watched probably more heats of that than I've watched heats in the last sort of year. I mean, obviously, Vans are an important client for Surf Europe, so guys, you know, it's not a reflection on your brilliant footwear, stroke, accessories. But just the event itself, Huntington, I just think is the worst place, pretty much one of the worst places in the world. There's a lot of those dudes with tribal tattoos. These guys would like walk around in ball shots just holding their t-shirt over one shoulder.
I thought Gabriel Medina's sort of whole shtick over the course of the Billabong Pro was pretty bad, but in a good way.
What did he do, Ben?
Oh, he just got in scraps.
Doesn't sound like him.
It was good to have see like a villain. I don't know if he was meant to do it. He got in multiple paddle battles and sort of confrontations with, I think initially it was one with Wilco where he just dropped in on him, which kind of smashed Wilco's attempt in round four. Then he got in a couple of scraps with Chloe and Dino, both given as good as each other. But and then in the final with Julian Wilson, he did the same again. He's just gnarly. And... Which is, it's got the good old days where, you know, putting competition back, combative kind of personalities. It was good to watch. But at the very end, I think my favourite bit where he channeled his inner Lance Burkhart the best was when he, 30 seconds ago in the heat, Julian had got the wave he needed. It was kind of all over. Gabriel paddled over, shook his hand, conceded defeat. And then that was all kind of sweet. 30 seconds to go. And then all of a sudden, you know, a wave sort of came in. He swung immediately. Not having priority, obviously. Almost got it. Then saw another set came in. He just was out of position, but he would have won it, and he could have got the score, and it would have been the classic sort of, I think Doherty wrote in his piece that was like punching a guy after you've been tapped out, you know, like kind of against all the rules of sportsmanship. I don't think it was planned. It was just not planned villainy. Just Medina being a bit of a dick. And then when he got the second place trophy, he just cried. I don't know, it was just a brilliant run of pure peak Medina.
Yeah.
A bit of a Burkhart.
If he's the villain, if he's Darth Vader, his stepdad, who's people call Charlie Medina, that's not his name, he must be like the Sith Lord. What's the boss of Darth Vader? The Emperor? I don't know.
What's the new ones?
Star
but, yeah.
Wars is completely overrated. But anyway, yeah, what's his dad? He just stares sort of smouldering in the background, frowning, looking really eggy and pissed off. He's almost, I think his stepdad is the North Korea to Medina's China. Like, some people think North Korea was engineered by China to make China not look that bad. Do you know what I mean? Maybe he takes his stepdad on tour for sort of PR.
Yeah,
because whenever you go, oh, he's a bit much, then you see his stepdad go, well, actually,
Gabby's all right.
Could be worse.
Paul.
Yes.
Have you got anything that's...
I have, and it might not surprise you to know that it's a response to... social media.
Oh, it's another social media rant.
Yeah, it's a kind of an Instagram thing. So what's starting to really get on my tits is, why is everyone pluralising everything in their fucking captions on Instagram? You see, like a picture, and some people look like they're on a beach at night, and it says, beach fires and full moons. Why is it plural? You presumably only had one beach fire. Did you douse it and then get some kindling and start another one? Did you have like six beach? No, you had a beach fire. There was one full moon. Unless you're on holiday on Saturn with its seven moons, there's a full moon, right?
Yeah, you're right, Paul. Yeah.
Right. It's like, it's not full moons, is it? Well,
nah.
Or did you wait a month? Was it you on the beach for a whole month till the next full moon? No. One fire, one moon.
So this
the pluralisation of everything. No.
Stop the pluralisation.
No.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, it's a massive problem. It's a massive issue confronting the surfing world.
It's a bit like when they used to, every nightclub used to have an S on the end. Do you know what I mean? It was always called like Lasers or Mondays or, do you know what I mean? Why did all nightclubs have an S?
We had an underage nightclub, remember that, like the youth nightclub in Newcastle, Australia, called the Shockwave Connection, which we all called the Cockshave Erection.
Good singular, though. Good singular.
Yeah, yeah.
Der Surf Europa Podcast.
Podcaster Mastermind. Ben, Podcaster Mastermind, how are you feeling about avenging your crushing defeat from last time?
I'm very confident, Paul. I think now I've ascertained the general tone and rules of the game, sussed out your weak points, and I'm ready to go.
As the defending champion, it's my honour, and I think I'll decide to ask the questions first. Last time out, you asked four or five questions on the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach, Australia.
Yes.
I've done some research, mainly on the Wikipedia page. Ben Mundy, your five questions on the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach, Australia start now. Name five of the sections at Bells.
Five of the sections.
Or breaks, individual breaks, whatever. Well, I don't know these surf terms.
You're not including center sides or Bells itself. Got the Bells Bowl, got the centre sides, got Rincon. They got outside Rincon, inside Rincon. That's five.
Keep going. I'm gonna need some more.
Shore break. The Bell Shorey, famous.
Okay, well I've got south side, centre side, Rincon, Winky Pop uppers and lowers. Boobs and steps. But I'm going to give you that. I'll give you that.
Well, south side and centre sides are around the other side. Whatever. They're not part of Bells.
I don't care.
If you paddle out to
you can have a
south
point.
Side of the comp,
you can have a point if you stop talking to about that. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, yeah, one for you.
Thank you.
Between 2000 and 2010, two of the winners of the Rip Curl Pro Bells Beach are not world champions, surfing world champions. Name those two.
Between 2000 and 2010.
Yes. Name those two surfers that aren't ASP or WSL world champions.
Well, one's Trent Munro.
Bing! Correct, that's half a point.
Actually won the event in Phillip Island.
Which year was it? There's no bonus points, just interested to know. Okay.
2004?
2005, but you're on half a point for Trent Munro, one of my favourite surfers of all time. Who else,
mate? And then the other one would be, in that year, they all, Slater, Garcia, they were all world title, Irons, no. Must be Taj.
Correct, he's two from two. He's absolutely nailing it. Okay, before competition at Bells, that awful shit, ACDC crap.
Hey, back
hell's,
it up, buddy.
Hell's Bells is playing.
If you've ever paddled out and heard that in the morning, it's the peak of professional surfing.
One of the most overrated bands in the history of recorded music. But anyway, which crap album does Hell's Bells come from?
See, now, once again, you're veering into musical knowledge,
right?
Yeah,
mate, it's just,
rather
you
than
call yourself an Australian, you call yourself a surf fan, you must know. I even knew this, and I hate Aka Daka, as you dicks call them.
Back in Black?
It is Back in Black, correct. He's three from three, he's on an absolute tear. Ben, let's go back in history a little bit. Who was the first Hawaiian to wind bells. I'm gonna have to press you for an answer.
I think this might have to be Reno Abelera.
It's incorrect. It was Jeff Hackman in 1976. And that's unfortunate. It's 3 from 4. Last question. Let's see if you can bring it home. With the ceremony, the prize, the Prezzo at the Bells Beach, prize giving, members of the local Aboriginal tribe.
Indigenous tribe.
The Indigenous tribe.
Yes.
Are on hand to celebrate. It's an important spot for the tribe. What's the name of the tribe of that region?
I don't know.
Even given your own strong roots and interest.
I really should know the Indigenous landholders or the custodians, but
it's
the risk of saying it wrong, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, it's the Wathaurong people.
The Wathaurong.
Yeah,
but
not bad.
Wathaurong.
Not bad, mate. 3 from 5. It's a solid effort-ish for you.
As it's week two, we might ramp it up somewhat. And your topic, you've continued on, is the surf spots of the North Shore of Oahu. And,
Hawaii. Oh,
so, where is Incinerators?
Incinerators.
Mm, Incinerators.
It's on the North Shore, mate, isn't it? It's on the 7 Mile Miracle.
It is.
Incinerators.
I'm going to push you for an answer on this.
Incinerators. I don't know. Let's say it's... What do you mean, where? I mean, what other break? What is it?
Just where is it?
In between log cabins and...
No, you got to be more specific than that. It's at a break spot.
Haliva.
Incorrect. It's what's known as the outside Puina Point.
Yeah, that's Haliva, mate. Puina Point is Haliva.
Haliva and Puina Point are completely different things.
The town is Haliva.
Why are you arguing this? It's ridiculous.
Puina Point is there.
Yeah, I know where Puina Point is.
Right,
that's
in Haliva.
I've seen Ant-Man Patterson take off on a 12-foot wave at Incinerators on the outside Puina Point, one of the highlights of my Hawaiian trip. It's not Haliva, because if you took off on Haliva, you would have taken off at Haliva. I'm sorry.
No, but it's not. All right, it's not at the break of Haliva, but it's at Haliva. You should have said at which surf spot. It's not what you asked, but whatever.
You don't know. You didn't know where. Whatever. You didn't even heard of it.
It was a guess, yeah, but I was correct. But whatever.
At which wave did Mark Richards come out of retirement to famously win the final of the Billabong Pro in 1985?
Waimea.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect. What? He won it at sunset the day before. The day you're thinking of was a famous day at Waimea Bay.
Right, so he came out of retirement at Waimea then, because when he came...
At what wave did he win the final of the Billabong Pro in 1985? It was at Sunset Beach, was held the next day. I'm afraid I can't give you that, Paul.
Just read your question again from the beginning.
At which wave did Mark Richards come out of retirement to famously win the final?
Okay, well, I didn't... Yeah, all right, whatever. Yeah.
None from two, I would say that would be. As you well know, Paul Nielsen famously won the 1972 Smirnoff Pro.
Classic Nielsen.
Burley local, came from nowhere to win the Smirnoff Pro. Then probably effectively the world... title of surfing at the time, but which North Shore location did he win the 1972 Smirnoff Pro?
I'm guessing it's not going to be an obvious one, because otherwise you would be asking. It's Sunset Smirnoff, but it's probably not with that.
Gonna have to ask for an answer.
I'm going to go with Haliva.
That's correct.
Yes, get in there. I can just tell by your face that you want me to say Waimea or Sunset.
It was a bit of a gimme.
Alright, so if I get these next two right, it's a tie, basically. Pressure's on.
There's a wave next to Jocko's. A right-hander. You know the answer to that, clearly. The adjacent one across the channel.
Is that the question?
No, but give me the answer.
What's the question?
Who is Chuns?
Chuns.
Or Chuns?
Yeah.
Who's that named after?
Michael Chun.
John Chun.
John Michael Chun. Some of his family use the middle name.
John Chun, he was a well-known landholder across the road that was famous for generosity. So I can't give you that. So you effectively lost this. But I'll give you the last question.
Yep.
I'm going to give you 5 degrees of both latitude and longitude here. Can you give me the longitude and latitude of, say, Velsiland? Latitude within 5 degrees. This is quite a broad scale. That's a big swathe of the globe, if you think about 5 degrees latitude, Paul.
Yeah.
That's a flight.
Yeah. I'll go with 19 north.
21.
Okay, so I'm
very
in.
Good.
Yeah,
very good.
19. No, longitude is virtually impossible. It's much best to know that. The longitude will be 117 west.
158.
It's not bad.
That's
though. Longitude's
bad.
Hard.
Longitude. I mean, yeah, that's you're only about 40 degrees. Only like probably South America. There, you were close.
About 9,000.
If we were talking about Chicama, yeah, that would have been great. okay, so unfortunately, Paul, well, you're the adjudicator of this.
Yeah, again, if I wasn't such a gentleman, I'd probably launch a protest as, again, a few of your questions were just not right.
No, your answers weren't right, I think,
but
we're fine.
Anyway. Okay, well, Dan, so you're the new champion.
Yes.
So you'll be getting 5 more questions, much harder, on the Ripcurl Pro of Bells Beach next time, and I need to nominate a new topic for you to research, and I'm going to go with the life and times of Robbie Page.
Oh.
So I'm sure you'll have some fun researching that. I've got 5 questions on Pagey coming up next time.
That's a very good topic.
Okay, Ben, well, yeah, more exciting podcast content news. We've got a brand new feature. When I say brand new, it's obviously sort of just like everything else we do, essentially stolen from, like,
reinterpreted.
Reimagined.
Yeah.
It's called Sacred Cow. This one's stolen from one of our favourite podcasts, Ellis and John. It's going to be to do with individuals or events or things in surfing that are revered. Are they revered too much? Why are they considered to be great?
Yeah, who's untouchable in the surfing world, Paul?
Well, no one in our podcast, Ben. No. Are they a sacred cow or are they just a piece of meat, a piece of flabby meat that should be consigned to the abattoir to slaughter? Or should they be put out to pasture on a lovely bit of green grass? Put out to stud, perhaps. And I'm going to start this week, Ben, and I'm just going to proceed with a little bit of caution here because I am on slightly shaky ground. Don't want you to get upset, but I would like to nominate as the first sacred cow.
Whoa, what? This wasn't discussed. I don't even believe you're going down this route, Paul. You're gonna. Okay, I'm clearly defending one of the greatest surfers of all time.
Yeah,
one of the untouchables for a variety of reasons. But interesting to see why you've even nominated him.
Okay, Ben.
Why, Paul? Why
was he really that good? He was really that good.
Yes.
Was he really? Is he really a real, true great of the sport? Is he up there with the absolute gods of the sport? My argument to say he. Is this. Only goofies really love Oki. You're a goofy, I'm a goofy, Oki's a goofy. How many regular footers or natural footers, as you call them, how many of them go, oh, Oki's my favourite surfer? Just name one. Name a natural footer.
Andy Irons said it multiple times. Joel Parkinson has on record of saying it. Taj Burrow, Mick Fanning.
Anyone not sponsored by Billabong? Okay, yeah, Mick. Really?
I mean, some of the best surfers in the world who happen to be natural footers, Oki's their favourite surfer.
Yeah, I just think, basically...
There's a couple right there.
I think, look, he's amazing, he's funny, he was sort of that...
Are you saying his persona is more than his surfing?
Yeah,
the comeback
story is amazing. Madness? Everyone loves to see, like, a flawed genius. Obviously, he had his well-documented top problems and he fell off the tour and did all the stuff he did. The comeback story is brilliant, he won the world title. I'll just put this to you. He won the world title in 99... Slater wasn't on tour that year. He wasn't surfing against the best in the world. So,
Yeah, but that was when he was like 33. Like, he was at peak Ocular at 22, 27.
And was routinely trounced by Curran, by Potter, by Barton Lynch,
yeah, but he wasn't,
by Damien Hardman. Yeah, those were the guys winning the world titles,
yeah,
then.
Yeah, but they were just hardcore, gnarly, competitive animals surfing 3 foot beaches. Ocky was like his raw talent, which is why when you look, I think when you look at some of the old footage, it's there's not that many guys you still go, whoa, like you can still enjoy it. Like, and Tom Curran, obviously, you can still see him surfing. But Ocky at the Skins or at J Bay in 84 or even in some of the like not like the desert, the Billabong challenges,
yeah,
his surfing still stands the test of time now. And he was so different and so aggressive and had so much charisma and sort of that just, yeah, made him so unique in the surfing world.
You say that, Ben, but you go, everyone goes, oh, Green Iguana, ah, Bunny at June. If you actually go back and watch them, I mean, again, this is sort of controversial, but they're actually kind of shit. Like, it's nice nostalgia, and you got your Yothu Yindi and maybe a bit of NXS that they used to have in there, and your classic sort of like Jack McCoy soundtracks. What the other one, the Hunters and Gatherers or some other Australian band? I don't
know. The Hunters and Collectors, yeah.
That's it. But if you actually watch the surfing, you got Munga Barry on like a 7.3 doing like
you're just saying how much you love overgun surfing, and that's your prime overgun time.
I just think summer surfing really wasn't that good. If you watch the section of Ocky's left, right, was it really that good? By today's standards, it's sort of barely getting barreled.
Yeah, but
it's kind of, by today's standards, that's pretty pants.
Yeah, but that was just 4 foot. Wasn't that good wave, really. But I think when you put him in like some of those like quality surf, he's from at Nalu or, as we say, the Skins or in Hawaii, like Rocky Point surfing. I just think he was like no other surfer that has ever been or ever come before. His style was like no other. He was radical, he was aggressive, and he had something so different. And that's why, and he had a personality that everyone loves. He's just so goddamn fucking likable. Except for people like you who don't, for some reason, turn against him. No, he should be put out to pasture, Paul. We're not gonna slay this one, are we?
I just think, yeah, I take your point on the Nalu. I take your point. That was after his comeback, though, wasn't it? That wasn't actually Ocky, like a peak Ocky. That was the comeback Ocky, right?
Well, when was peak Ocky? Probably like, what about Huntington when he beat Tom Curran in that best of three?
That
was like late 80s. He was about 8 or 9.
If it didn't happen on the webcast, it didn't really happen. Did that actually happen?
Yeah,
same thing, 84, everyone goes 84. Really? Have you seen it?
What about the
Ocky
versus Curran?
Have you seen that
Ocky
footage? Because I fucking haven't.
I mean, I get your point. It's a good discussion. It's a good starting Sacred Cow, Paul. It is. The fans are going to blow up. And we'd like to hear your input.
I'm playing devil's advocate. I'd just like to obviously say that. So, Ocky, I think you're amazing. I'm saying he's brilliant. He's funny. He's a great commentator. He's a really, really good surfer. Is he one of the absolute all-time greats, as in that sort of group of like four or five sort of gods of surfing? I'm not sure, and that is why I think Ocky should be consigned to slaughter in the abattoir and then sold on as real prime quality cuts of meat.
No, I disagree so much. I'm almost crying. It's too tight. We have to flip a coin on this one, Paul.
Yeah, I think basically, you know, I don't think we're going to convince each other, Ben. We're very entrenched in our views. It's going to come down to a flip of a coin. So heads, Ocky's in the abattoir. Tails, he's out to pasture and some of that beautiful green Australian grass. And let's see what it's going to be. It is heads, and I'm sorry to say, Mark Ocalupo is going in the meat grinder.
We've got the regular segment called Moan at Monday, where you get to get anything off your chest that's sort of bothering you about the surfing world or life in general. And on the dog and bone, all the way from Australia, is one of the original moaners.
Celebrity moaner.
Yeah, celebrity moaner. It hasn't been the same without him for a while. I think we've got a guy called Maddo from the Bluff in Redhead. And
Timmy, happy.
Maddo, are you happy or unhappy?
I'm terribly unhappy, Mundy, for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know it's not Maddo from Redhead Bluff, it's Norton from Dirrumbandy, you know that.
Sorry, I got it wrong. Norton from Dirrumbandy. What's up, yes. Norton?
Yeah, So cut out with all those aliases, mate. I want to tell people who I am, Les Norton from Derrumbandy. Now listen, there's a couple of things I'm blowing up about at the moment. Number one, I fucking hate it when you think you got a regular gig with a mob, you know, and things are looking good, and you know, Friday nights I'm looking forward to, and I'm having a few beers, and things are starting to feel comfortable. The money's rolling in. All of a sudden, they go missing, and my Friday nights go dull. The beer doesn't taste the same. The cookie turned to shit. Like, where are you been, boys? What's going on?
Oh, you're talking about us, mate. Les. Yeah, we just...
it's a long way to go.
It's a long way to go. We had other moaners that came in. We had a few celebrity moaners, if I'm going to be honest. To be fair, Les, your last effort, we thought you may have had maybe that last can of Forex may have just tipped you over the edge. And we had a few calls from the licensing bureau about it. That was part of the reason.
That's just feeling comfortable in your surrounds, Mundy. You know that.
Drink responsibly. You know, got in touch with us, and they weren't happy.
Yeah, no, you're right, Tim. And Les.
You know that when you're hanging around with Slater and Buddy, you know all those big wigs that you hang around with over in the camps of Mentaries, and you show them that trick where you piss over the shoulder. Like, you just start feeling a little bit comfortable with yourself, don't you?
You do, yeah.
And I apologise, boys. I was a little bit inebriated that night, but I didn't think it deserved a 6-month fucking solace.
No, you're right, and it didn't, and yeah, we've been a bit remiss, but you're back now.
To be fair, Les, if I could just interject, I thought it was fine. You did a really good job, and it was good entertainment. Ben took a sort of a real hard line stance and said, "No, he's out for a while. I think we need to get him out." So it was basically Monday. So
yeah. Anyway, it's good to have you back. You know, let's let bygones be bygones be bygones. And what's getting you goat, Les?
Well, it's not me fucking goat. I fucking tell you, it's me fucking gout. Have you blokes ever had fucking gout?
No, I thought that was like only 18th century sailors still got that.
It's funny you say that, Mundy. I've gone back to me fucking history days. I find out that gout's fucking derived by the... it was well known by the fucking bigwigs over in your land at the time, the Pommy land.
The
King Henry V had gout because he was the only bloke that could afford drinking red wine and eating prawns, you know what I mean? But here I am, and Norton from Derrumbandy. All I want to do, I'm an honest bloke, all I want to do is have a surf on the weekend, come in, have a couple of beers and a root and go to bed. And guess what?
Have you thought about cutting down on the liver sausage and those sort of rich, meaty foods? Have you thought about maybe getting on more of a kale chip vibe? Or...
Stop. You're starting to sound like me, Mrs. Paulie. No, mate, put it to bed. That'll never happen.
All right, it's just been affecting your surfing, I take it.
Big time. I've been riding the 9'2" freaking log to try and... To try and get by. I can't wriggle on me little shortboards at the moment, so it has been, yeah.
But out of interest, Les, what is your shortboard these days?
Oh, 7'10". With 92 litres. Fucking, and hey, don't get me started on these litre pricks. Nice board, mate. How's it go? Yeah, good. Yeah, what length is it? Oh, 72 litres. 42 litres. What the hell's a litre?
It's not a fucking pint of milk.
I can tell you blokes are laughing because yous are right up that shit. Epoxy 40 litre, 40 and a half. Epoxy 28 and a half litre. Nah, no way could I ride the 28. Nah, the 28, no. Gotta be 28 and a half.
What's your podcast?